Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
He loved life. He loved everything about life. He had good friends, good family. He seriously did just vanish, leaving his apartment. But my determination is just to be my son's voice and have a day in court. I do believe that someone hurt him, and I do believe that something did happen. You would hope that your child would be with somebody that would go to the ends of the earth to find somebody, you know, find your child. And he hasn't. It's hard because we don't have a voice. We're just little people on the planet, you know, but to us, Chris isn't little. He was everything, and our lives aren't going to be the same.
Hello, and welcome to episode 83 of The Vanished. 23-year-old Chris Turner disappeared from his home in Las Vegas, Nevada on August 6, 2016. When he disappeared, he left behind his phone, car, and wallet. His family believes that to walk away would have been very out of character for Chris, since he was a devoted father to a young son. His girlfriend was the last person to see him, and her stories keep changing. Chris's case has received zero media attention. A couple missing persons organizations shared his flyer on social media, but that's it. You can't expect the public to come forward with tips if they aren't even aware that someone's missing. This is Chris's story.
Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner. And it's great for my evening walks, too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500.
Chris was born and raised in Reno, Nevada, but just 3 months before he disappeared, he and his girlfriend relocated to Las Vegas. Chris's mom, Dawn, gave me a little bit of background on him.
You know, Chris is very family-oriented. He's the oldest of five siblings, and he never really went a day without contacting at least my 17-year-old daughter, Ashley, and, I mean, nobody's heard from him, and he had a 2-year-old son. He was a really good dad. He shared custody of his son.
As Dawn mentioned, Chris was the devoted father of a 2-year-old son, and it's important to note that Chris's girlfriend is not the mother of his son. It's also important to point out that he had a good relationship with his son's mother. They were able to share custody without any issues.
The mother of his children, she had also moved on, and she has developed a good relationship. It was really civil. Chris pretty much could have the baby anytime he wanted. And he was taking baby Ryan 3 months at a time because he was so young. So Chris would have the baby 3 months, and then Destiny would have the baby 3 months. And then they were going to conclude who would take the baby as soon as school age hit. But they were they just loved the baby to death. And, you know, Destiny didn't have any worries about the baby with Chris.
On the other hand, Chris did have a rocky relationship with his current girlfriend, Nicole, or Nikki. In this episode, sometimes she's referred to as Nikki, and other times she's referred to as Nicole, but we're talking about the same person. The two had dated for about 2 years leading up to his disappearance. Chris's mom, Dawn, told me about the relationship between the two.
she was very controlling, and my son was a very relaxed person. He just never really let anything get to him. I can't even recall one time in my son's entire life where he got mad and raised his voice at me. He was just always, from the time he was born, he was very mellow, never like wanted problems, but she wouldn't even let him go to the store by himself. And then eventually they ended up having to work at the same places together, and she would get very jealous of girls because Chris was very handsome. And she would get very jealous when the younger girls at the warehouses would flirt. And so it was rocky on and off. And he just often would get frustrated. And when they would get into fights over her jealousy, he would leave and come to family and just say he had had it with her. So it wasn't an easy relationship at all.
Before Chris and his girlfriend decided to move to Las Vegas, they lived with Dawn in her home in Reno. During this time frame, Dawn began to have issues with some of Nicole's actions, but tried to keep things as civil as possible for the sake of her relationship with her son.
So the baby and Chris and Nicole all lived with me for 9 months before they moved to Vegas. And the last words with me and my son were an argument because Nicole was stealing stuff from Walmart and bringing it into my home. And I have, you know, my youngest children are 5 and 6 and 10. So I told Chris, you know, I said, I can't have her in my home. You're always welcome and I love you. And Nicole became very irate and she came to my place of residence yelling and screaming in front of neighbors. And I just told her to never come back on the property. And I knew once I had that argument with Nicole that things with me and my son were going to be a little bit iffy. But I know my son, he adored me to death, and I knew that it was going to pass. But Nicole did everything she could to pretty much keep Chris away from family, and she got very jealous of me and Chris's relationship because we were very, very close.
I asked Dawn if she knew what had prompted Chris and Nicole to move to Vegas.
I think that they were thinking that there was more money in Vegas. And my son went to job court here in Reno. And his best friend, John, lived in Vegas. So they did have friends in Vegas. And, you know, being 20, they did go out. And they did have a good time in Vegas. So, yeah, I think it was just the idea of Vegas. And it scared me. Chris and Destiny actually lived in Vegas when the baby was born. And he ended up moving back when they separated. And I just always told him, it's a really big town and it will eat you alive. You know, I think that it was just the idea that there was more money in Vegas and they could party and like make money and be young, you know?
One of the problems with Chris's disappearance is that the story itself is coming from one person, his girlfriend, Nicole. His close relationship with his son has helped to establish a time that we know Chris was alive and well that is coming from someone other than her.
My son Skyped my grandson. He Skyped baby Ryan every day. And the last Skype with baby Ryan was on August 6th that morning.
So we know that Chris was alive and well on the morning of August 6th, 2016, when he Skyped with his son. Sometime after that, he disappeared and his girlfriend reported him missing the next day on the 7th. When he disappeared, he left behind all of his belongings, including his car, his wallet, and his phone. His girlfriend, Nicole, has told many different stories about his disappearance and the circumstances leading up to it.
We all knew right away that something was wrong. I mean, the family's always known he's probably not coming home because the girlfriend reported him missing the next day in Vegas, but she didn't call family until August 17th. And it was really out of character for her because anytime they had a fight, she was ringing up our phone. He just never went without contacting family. So he moved to Vegas and then 3 months later went missing. He did have what the PI concluded is that and the girlfriend's story has changed over and over. She has said that he left to go get a job at 6 a.m. at the Carpenters Union, but at the same time, she said that she had his birth certificate and wallet and social and all that stuff. And then she told other people that he was depressed and walked out with a Bible and said that he was leaving to be the best man he could be for her. And then he never came home. So it's been quite an adventure trying to put all of the stories together.
Nicole was telling so many stories that Chris's family members began to record them in order to keep them straight themselves.
We have recordings, me and family members have recordings of all the different, I mean, we eventually had to, I had to download an app to record her because it was so just outrageous, all the stories. And I thought, there's no way that detectives are going to believe me. And I knew that the recordings eventually won't be useful in court, but they're still useful.
Nicole was under the impression that Dawn and some of her family members weren't speaking, so she told them different stories about Chris's disappearance, thinking that they wouldn't compare them and add up the differences.
Nikki didn't know that she was on speakerphone when my cousin was at my house. So we're listening to the lies she told me versus the, and I would record the lies she told, and we would be writing this down in our journals going, this woman is absolutely nuts off her rocker. Because she didn't think any of us were talking. And why she wouldn't think that I wouldn't go down and file a report on my own son. She straight up told me, Nikki told me. I said, I'm going to go down and file a report in the morning. And she goes, you don't need to do that. I filed one here. And I said, well, I'm filing one here. She did not want me to go down and file that report. And so I think she thought because he was an adult, I would just, there was nothing I could do about it. And I said, well, I'm not stopping. And one night I talked to her and she was in an apartment and I heard a man and I said, this is like not even a month after my son went missing. I go, do you have a man in your apartment right now? And she goes, it's my friend. He came up from Reno. And I was like, are you serious right now? And I really got kind of upset and we got into a fight and on the phone. And I said, I'm going to find my son wherever he's at, Nikki. And she goes, you will not find your son. And she's done so many things that just make me sick over this. Because she hasn't acted like somebody that was devastated or looking. And you would hope that your child would be with somebody that would go to the ends of the earth to find somebody, you know, find your child. And she hasn't. So, and the only fingers pointing are to her. People, as much as I want to believe somebody did, you know, snatch him up and that she didn't have anything to do with him. My son was he was like 6'3" and he was big, you know, there's nobody that was going to snatch my son up without a problem.
One of the stories that Nicole has told was that Chris was jumped by 5 black guys at their apartment complex. Very recently, some neighbors came forward and described an altercation that Chris had been in at the apartment complex. But the story was very different from Nicole's.
Neighbors recently did come forward on Facebook to me and said that her and Chris had had an argument the night before about her cheating and that he was very upset looking for her around the complex. The night before he went missing, he got into a fight with somebody. He had gotten into an altercation with a man in the complex. So basically, we just haven't seen him, heard from him. All of his items, cell phone, the car, his wallet, everything was left behind. So we don't know if somebody went into the apartment and snatched him up or something happened between him and the girlfriend. But she refuses to talk to a detective. And so it's kind of our hands are tied at this point.
The neighbors who came forward with this information shared it with Dawn and also the Vegas Police Department. This has helped them establish that the scuffle took place because Chris was going around banging on doors that night.
Nikki had said that he was jumped. This is what she told my cousin. He was jumped by 5 black guys that night. Well, when the investigator went and talked to neighbors, he eventually talked to the gentleman that my son got into a fight with, and it was because my son was banging on doors looking for Nicole. They ended up getting into a scuffle. So the next day, I guess friends, you know, stated, no, he didn't have bruises on him or anything. It was just a brief scuffle because he was upset and finding out that Nicole was running around with somebody else in Vegas. Sorry, it's emotional. So eventually the conclusion is that he did get into a brief fight with one person. But again, we were going, well, why would she say that he was dumped? This was about a week and a half ago. The neighbors that came forward did talk to Detective Hernandez at the Vegas PD. So they were legit.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
After Chris went missing, his girlfriend didn't let the mother of Chris's son know that he was missing. In fact, she took him for a scheduled visit like nothing was wrong.
And she took the two-year-old on a visit. My grandson, Ryan, she took him on a visit without telling the mother that Chris was missing. And she was leaving the baby with neighbors, and we just found this so odd. And then eventually she called Destiny, the mother of my grandson, and said, oh, Chris is missing. You have to come and get the baby. So there's just been a lot of odd behavior going on. And Nikki has never once called us on holidays or anything to say, have you seen Chris? It's like she's just always known what's happened to him. She's never once called a family member and said, has he shown up? Has he called you? It's just been the most odd behavior in the world.
Nicole has refused to speak to police and a private investigator, even going as far as giving out fake addresses. This has only made his family more suspicious of her.
When you love somebody and you're trying to find them, you are constantly in contact with people. She just eventually, she moved away from Vegas back to Reno here with her family. And she told the investigator that we had investigating, he wanted to do an interview with her. And at the same time, detectives were trying to interview. When he went missing, she reported him in Vegas missing on August 7th, but she didn't call us till the 17th. So I went down the next morning and I filed a police missing persons report in Sparks, Nevada. And when I texted her, she gave me the address because I said, hey, this detective wants to talk to you. And so she gave the address and the detective called me, or the cop called me and said, this is a vacant address. So I texted her back and I said, they're looking for you. Why are you giving fake addresses? She ended up giving two fake addresses and police couldn't do anything at that time because the real address was out of jurisdiction. They couldn't go into another jurisdiction. They had to give it to another jurisdiction. So by the time that happened, she had moved back to back to Reno with her family. And ever since, she won't talk to police or detectives or anybody. She told the investigator that she was coming to Reno for her father's birthday or something, and that she would do an interview and talk to him when she got back. Well, it ends up, after we talked to neighbors, she had helped the upstairs neighbors move, and she had moved. And her plan was never to be back in Vegas. She moved back here. So she's just been constantly skipping interviews. It just is odd behavior for somebody that loves somebody so much and wanted to look for them.
At one point, she even exchanged text messages with an investigator pretending to be Chris.
Sergeant Burns, he had a private investigator call me. He was investigating possibly the sex industry. And so a few months back, this was like the end of summer, maybe October, he called me and said, I found your son. And I literally was on the ground crying. Like I was, and I said, from what number? And he said, and I go, that's the phone that him and his girlfriend shared. That Nikki has that phone. Well, he had texted, and she, I guess, had texted him back acting like she was Chris and that he was alive.
This is one of those cases where the further you dig, the more bizarre it gets. One of Nicole's sisters recently called Chris's family to ask if he was dead, which seems like such a strange and inappropriate thing to do.
It was weird because a few weeks ago, one of Nicole's sisters called my 17-year-old and asked, is Chris dead? And my daughter was like, what? And at the same time, Sparks police did come to my residence to investigate the phone call because it was odd because Nicole had told her family that she had seen Chris at the mall in October. So the stories are just off the hook with this woman. Sparks police came and because I don't know if they were trying to investigate her here. I know that they've asked to take DNA samples for me and his dad and do all that. I don't know where they're at with the case. I used to call like 3 times a week. Now I just call the detectives like maybe once a week, every 2 weeks. Because I know that their hands are tied right now as far as Nicole goes, because if she doesn't come forward and talk to them, we don't really know what happened that night.
One question that I asked Dawn was, if she thinks Nicole's involved in her son's disappearance, does she also believe that she would have needed help?
I believe so. I mean, at this point, I believe so. At first, I actually was kind of on her side. You know, I just right away was like, why wouldn't she call us for 2 weeks? How much time has passed? I knew right away that, I mean, even to this day, I'm thinking we're going to find a body. You know, eventually they find a body or remains or something. But I thought 2 weeks, I mean, even if he was abducted for sex trade or something, that's pivotal time for you to find someone that you love. If one of my children went missing, I would be down at the police department that day, or I would be calling my family frantic. When she moved back to Reno, she still hadn't even told her parents he was missing. She acted like nothing happened. It's just so odd to me. And it just says guilt, guilt, guilt. Because at first I was like, well, maybe she's in shock. She thought we would be mad at her. But then I thought, no, she would think that he was here. She would have been ringing up our phone the next day, but he didn't come home. She would have been calling every family member. Even though we didn't get along, she would know that Chris would come here and she would be looking for him here. Anytime they had a fight, she was at our door. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? You know, I had to hear the story of the Carpenters Union, and I said, no, I go, you're not going to go to the Carpenters Union at 6 a.m. with no ID or no cell phone with your contact information. And then we ended up calling the Carpenters Union, which was 2 blocks from their house, supposedly. And we called them and they said, no, we moved years ago. We're miles away from that address. And he never came down here to apply. And I was like, oh, so frustrated. Then came up the story, well, he was depressed and left with a Bible. And it's been a wild ride. And I've had much anger issues, drinking really heavy. And then in November, I ended up, you know, seeking outside help therapy and stuff over it. And I don't drink anymore. And because I want to have a solid mind for my son and just be there for him 100% when we do get answers or whatever happens. But my determination is just to be my son's voice and have a day in court. I do believe that someone hurt him, and I do believe that something did happen. And we don't know. I mean, I think it's just odd that he would leave the apartment unless he was lured out saying, hey, let's go for a ride to the store. Why would he leave his wallet, even if he was just leaving for a minute? You know, it just doesn't make sense to me at all.
I also wondered if Chris and Nicole's apartment in Vegas was ever forensically searched.
As far as I know, they have not. And that's really frustrating to me. I believe detectives don't tell me everything. I believe that, and I believe it for a reason, because I'm highly emotional and it's been really hard. I'm living in the same town as her and I know exactly where her parents live. And I do, Detective Bardot had asked me to get her parents' address here. So I had to go to the residence, drive by it and get the address. And it's very hard to restrain. So they haven't searched as far as I know. What I do is I leave my son's missing person flyers all over her parents' neighborhood when I have a chance, and I don't let his face go away.
One of the biggest issues with Chris's case is that in less than a year's time, it's been passed around from detective to detective over and over again.
And the problem with my son's case is it's gone from, he's been missing for not even a year, and it's been in the hands of 5 detectives. And their caseload was 200. Now we have Detective Hernandez, and his caseload is 50. And I think he's pretty much on it. But his hands are tied because they can't just, you know, drag people in for questioning. They have to have evidence.
As I'm sure you can imagine, many people are reported missing in Las Vegas each year. In fact, between 60 and 80 people are reported missing in Vegas each weekend. It's notorious for being a place where people go to party. Most people do turn up, so when a young guy like Chris goes missing, it's easy for law enforcement to assume that he'll turn up after a few days.
In the beginning, they were like, your son is 23, and there's, you know, he's probably just out partying. I mean, we knew that wasn't the case, but that's how detectives took it. And so now, you know, they're obviously, it's been, when it hit about the nine month mark, like right, I would say about after 6 or 7 months, they started taking it a little more serious. I was flying up there. I was very serious because every time I would call, they would say, what's your son's case number? And I would say, he's not a case. He's a name. So So I eventually got really pissed off and I flew up there to talk to Sergeant Burns and Detective Bardot at the time that was on the case. And I think they started taking it serious, like, you know, because my son wasn't a big partier. He was very athletic. He could run 14 miles in the blink of an eye. He ran 5Ks all the time. I mean, he just wasn't the type of kid that would just go off the map. And so I tried really hard to prove that to them and that I was serious. I mean, now where we're at is kind of a waiting game. And now that it's back in Hernandez's hands, it's kind of like he's got to go all the way through the caseload and all the stories and everything with Nicole and how he went missing. So it's kind of like starting a book over with him. And it's frustrating being Chris's mom trying to be his voice.
Often we hear from family reasons why someone wouldn't just leave. In Chris's case, Dawn already mentioned his son, but Chris also was very, very close with his grandmother. She was already very ill when he went missing and sadly has since passed away without having any answers.
I had Chris when I was 16 and my mom helped me raise him and they were very close. And my mom literally died like a month ago and she died of a broken heart. She didn't want to leave. She was suffering and she didn't want to leave without knowing what happened. And I kept telling her, I won't stop looking until I find your mom. You know, but she did not want to go until we found answers. And she ended up passing not knowing. And they were so close that there is no way that my son would have disappeared with as sick as my mom was. I mean, we've known that she's been dying for a while. And there's no way that he would leave her like that. He just didn't have it in his heart. He's always been an animal lover and just very kind spirited. And he couldn't stand to see me cry. And, you know, Chris had too many reasons to stay around. And I'm hoping maybe this podcast will help. I'm hoping that, maybe I can get more media attention. I haven't stopped. I write all the shows all the time.
Dawn has had a lot of trouble getting media attention focused on Chris's case. She told me that she believes that when people intentionally walk away, it hurts other cases where people are actually missing.
It's so hard to get media attention and get people to listen. They just think you're some crackpot. Like, I mean, I have a friend that had a son missing in Reno recently, and we actually were introduced through Missing Pieces Network. And so we talked, but her son was on parole, so he was running, and he was just recently found. He went missing the same time my son did, and they were the same age. And so, but he had a reason to disappear. You know, he didn't want to get locked up. But so, you know, you have those people that, unfortunately, they run and they make the other cases look like, oh, okay, this is just another 23-year-old running away, but you know, there are those people. My son is definitely 100% one of those people. We would have heard from him by now.
Dawn explained to me why not having closure in a missing persons case makes it so hard.
Because there's no closure. You can't go, like on his birthday, what we did for his 24th birthday, me and the kids, all my kids went to the park with balloons and we wrote prayers on the balloons and we lifted them up. Because there's no headstone. There's nothing to say goodbye to. You don't know. And so that's another reason we just really want answers. I know that Nikki is living in her own hell right now. And that's between her and whatever she believes in. She has to live with whatever she's hiding from. But for my family to just have a place where we can all go once a year and say we love you and say our goodbyes. My kids, my youngest kids, they lost their dad. Chris went missing in August, and then we lost my ex in October, and then my mom just died. So it's just been one thing after another for our family. But the thing with my mom and the thing with their dad is we have closure to those things. We can go and say goodbye. You're not suffering. Thank God. With my son, it's a ongoing heartache. There's always one family member we call it a Chris day. We call them Chris days. And it's like, who's having a Chris day today? And, you know, we're always available for that family member. And we just sit and listen, you know. And sometimes it's a call at 1 a.m. Someone can't sleep because they're so agonized in pain over it. I've had to learn to be a very strong woman for my son through this, because if I was weak, I would just be in a bottle right now, hiding out from the world, not wanting to think about it. But, you know, pretty much I'm the only one that's been strong enough to go to Vegas to get the flyers made, to talk to people, to get the neighbor's attention. And this is definitely, I think, the worst pain a parent can go through, or just any family member, is just not knowing. That's all we want is closure at this point. We're not even out for vengeance for her. We know that she's going to live in her own hell. When you know something like that and you're guilty of, even if it's just knowledge of knowing what happened, you have to live with yourself, and your life's not going to be very happy living those secrets.
So what happened to Chris Turner on August 6, 2016? It's hard to tell when so little is known about his case. What do we even know? We know he spoke to his son via Skype that morning, and later that evening he was reportedly involved in a scuffle with a neighbor. After that, he was gone. Other than that little bit of information, everything else is a story that comes from his girlfriend, and those stories have changed over and over. We do know that he left behind his belongings, including his phone, wallet, and car. Why did it take his girlfriend so long to notify his family that he was missing? Why hasn't she put any effort into looking for a man that she dated for 2 years? At the time of Chris's disappearance, he was 6'2" tall and weighed about 180 pounds. If you have any information about Chris's disappearance, please call the Las Vegas Police Department at 708-828-2907. Again, that's 702-828-2907. Like I said earlier in the episode, Chris's case has not gotten any media attention, and his family is trying to spread awareness about his disappearance. Someone out there may know something or may have seen something. I'm going to share his missing flyer on social media, so if you'd like to help out and share it too, you can find it there. That brings us to the end of episode 83. If you'd like to reach me, you can find me on Facebook, where there's a page and a private discussion group for the show. I'm on Twitter at The Vanish Pod, and I'm also on Instagram as The Vanish Podcast, all one word. I hope everyone's enjoying their holiday, and I will catch up with you guys in a few weeks when I come back from taking a break.
So, I mean, pretty much that's the story. I mean, Chris, anybody, even the neighbors that came forward, their only words about my son were good, that he was a good-hearted, kind person, and that he was helpful to all the neighbors. And, I mean, if anything came out of it, even if I don't get answers, it's just good to know that people know what my son's about, and that they know that he wasn't just, you know, a 23-year-old wanting to party. And he loved life. He loved everything about life. He had good friends, good family. And, you know, my mom spoiled him, but he never acted like, you know, a brat. Like I said, he had good reason in the past to be very angry at me, and he never, ever raised his voice at me or called me a name. I can't even find one person that he ever raised his voice to. You know, because we've been talking a lot. We talk a lot. And my 17-year-old, she calls me crying all the time, you know, because she's so used to, even now, she's so used to just looking at her phone and having a sweet text from him. He was very protective of her, and it's just not having him here has really been kind of a missing link to our lives, because he just brought so much light.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.